Keep your Bibles at John 13, please. It's good to see everyone. And I hope that everyone has had a restful afternoon and appreciate so much the songs that our brother Jack has led for us this evening. As always, I want to say if you are interested in a Bible study, if you're interested in learning more about God's Word, we would love to spend some time with you if that is something that interests you. Perhaps you're a member here, maybe not a visitor, but you're a member and you've got questions about things and you have things on your mind, or if you're dealing with something, by all means, please, we would love to sit down and spend some time in the Word of God, help you come to a better conclusion, study the things together, and help you to grow and overcome anything that perhaps you're struggling with. That's one of the reasons why we're here, is to help each other to overcome the things of this world, the temptations, the struggles, all of those things. God gives us the power in Christ Jesus to overcome those. And so as brothers and sisters in Christ, we can lean on each other and we can help each other. And my prayer is that we can do that together. This evening I want to talk about having one day left to live. I don't know if you've ever thought about that before. Maybe gone over in your mind what you would do if you had one day left to live. You may think to yourself, well, if I had one day left to live, I would probably go and eat my favorite meal. Mine would be Sonny's Barbecue in Warner Robins, Georgia. It is an excellent barbecue place. And that is my favorite restaurant of all time. In fact, when I lived in Georgia, I ate there sometimes two or three times a week. That's not something I'm glad to confess, but it is the greatest restaurant that's ever been created. And so it is my favorite food. And so, of course, if it was my last day to live, I would definitely go to Sonny's Barbecue. And maybe you can think of something that you would enjoy to eat if it was your last day to live, and maybe do something. Maybe perhaps you would throw a party, or you would go out and do your something that you've always wanted to do, or maybe you didn't have time for, maybe you've been scared to do, maybe skydiving or bungee jumping, or just something to fulfill your bucket list, so to speak. And perhaps maybe you would not do any of that because you would realize, you know, it's the last day to live, so I'm not going to go waste it skydiving. Instead, what I want to do is get my affairs in order. And so I'm going to make sure that my home is in order, my family's in order, my spiritual life is in order. I'm going to make sure of all these things, my finances, everything is ready to go because I only have one day left to live. And so we may have that kind of thought. I'm sure none of us have the thought that, well, my last day to live, I'll be on a machine somewhere in the hospital, in ICU, hooked up to the monitor on life support. I'm sure none of us really see that as our last day, but, you know, we want to think other kinds of thoughts when we're thinking about our last day. But have you ever considered that Jesus had a last day? And we might want to ask the question of, well, what did Jesus do? What did he think when it came to his last day to live? Something I shared on Facebook that I saw a quote that I thought was very interesting. It said, sometimes I joke about what I would do if I had one day left to live. Eat junk, go crazy, etc. Today it hit me, Jesus knew and he washed feet. And in fact, that's what our brother Daniel just read a moment ago in John chapter 13. As we read in verse 1, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father. What do we find him doing in verse 5? He's washing feet. That's one of the very last activities that our Lord and Savior does while he's on earth, is he's washing feet. Something that a servant does. Something that a hired servant would do is wash feet. And they didn't have shoes like we do today and socks and all of those fancy things that we have. No, they had sandals. They walked around on the dirt. Their feet would get nasty and they would come home and the servant would wash feet. And that's exactly what we find Jesus doing on the day that he knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to go to the Father. And so then, you know, when we sit there and we think about, well, What are all the things that I would do? What are all the accomplishments that I want to accomplish on my very last day? Or maybe I would spend my very last day mourning and spending time with family and friends because it's my very last day. And then we look to Jesus, our Savior, and we find that what he did is he washed feet. And let's understand the context of the last day that Jesus lived. And that is that the very next day he was going to be arrested. He was going to be trialed, falsely accused. He was going to be mocked, spit upon, insulted, beaten almost to death, and then hung on a cross to die for our sins. And what we find him doing, knowing these things, is he's washing feet. So I really want to talk about that tonight and really outline all the things that we find Jesus doing on his last day. And really what it ought to be for us is an example of how we ought to treat every single day, because we don't know when our last day is going to be. It could be tomorrow, it could be 6 years from now, but we need to live our life as disciples of Jesus Christ. In John chapter 13, you'll notice with me in verse 15, it says, "For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." So here is what we need to understand is we don't know when our last day will be. But we must live each and every day preparing ourselves and being prepared for the time we will meet our judge and Savior. And what Jesus shows us is that when we have the kind of mindset of we are prepared people for a prepared place, when we have that kind of mindset, then what we're going to do is we're going to follow our teacher. We are disciples of his. And so what we find is what he does on his last day is he serves the disciple by washing their feet, really by teaching them an important message or an important lesson on serving. That was the purpose for why he came. Look with me to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. And you'll recall the final words here as he's talking about coming to serve in this passage, in this context. But notice the context of it. In Matthew chapter 20 and in verse 20, it says, "Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came up to him with her sons, and kneeling before him, she asked him for something. And he said to her, 'What do you want?' And she said to him, 'Say that these two sons of mine are to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left in your kingdom.'" Now, she had a misunderstanding of the coming kingdom. She looked at it as a geopolitical, earthly kingdom. And so she wanted, you know, her sons to be at the right hand of Jesus, you know, power, authority. But in verse 22, Jesus answered, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am to drink?" They said to him, "We are able." He said to them, "You will drink my cup, but to sit at my right hand and at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." Now, the cup that he's talking about is the cup of suffering. That's why elsewhere in another context, he speaks about being baptized in suffering, so to speak. And, you know, and so overwhelmed with persecution and suffering. And so he's asking them, are they able to endure what he's about to endure? And verse 24, "And when the 10 heard it," that's the other disciples, "they were indignant at the two brothers. But Jesus called to them and said, 'You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be a servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." So what he had already been teaching his disciples, and is what he's teaching here, is he's showing them an example of servitude, that they are to go out and to serve. And that's exactly what he does the hour that he knew it was time to go back to the Father. And that's exactly what the Scriptures teach us to do as well. If you look with me to Galatians chapter 5, we're studying this on Sunday mornings, Galatians chapter 5, and you see in verse 13, Galatians chapter 5 and in verse 13, Paul says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh," meaning to practice the works of the flesh, "but through love, serve one another. That's the example Jesus left us on his last day. And that's what we must carry out in our lives. Look with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, the Lord has blessed each and every one of us with talents and with gifts to be used within the kingdom of Christ. And what we read in 1 Peter chapter 4 and in verse 10, he says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. And then he goes on to speak about whoever speaks is the one who speaks as oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. So what we find then is that Jesus gives us gifts within the kingdom, within the church, the local work that we are to carry out and use those gifts and those talents to strengthen one another and to encourage one another, to build the body up along with his word and with the preaching and the teaching of his word. But that's what Jesus is doing. He's showing us that on our last day, or any day for that matter, it's not about us. It's not about going to Sonny's Barbecue because, hey, that's my favorite food and that's what I want to do on my last day. Or it's not about, you know, making sure that I complete my bucket list in this life. That's not what being a disciple of Jesus is all about. It's being willing to sacrifice those things and surrender to Jesus and put those things aside because now is the time to serve one another. That's the example that Jesus leaves for us. You'll look also back to John chapter 13. What you find is Jesus is not only washing his feet, the feet of the disciples, but he's assuring them. He's comforting them. He's even warning them. And he's teaching them that, you know, I want you to be prepared. I don't want you to be uninformed for what is coming. There's going to be tribulation. There's going to be persecution that comes. There's going to be hardship. And he's warning his disciples about that. But over and over again, he leaves them with these words of, don't be troubled. Don't be troubled. You know, believe in me, or believe in God, believe also in me. And, you know, and then he talks about in chapter 15 about how there he's leaving peace with them. And so even though he's warning them of the coming tribulation that they're going to have to go through as disciples of Jesus, as ones who have to go out and spread the gospel in a community, a society that was in complete opposition to that, he is showing them that he has not left them alone, that he gives them peace. He gives them the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. He says in John 14, 15, and 16, he talks about the Holy Spirit was going to be guiding them into all truth. The Holy Spirit was going to be the one who was give them the things necessary to speak and what to say when that time came for when they were spreading the gospel. And so Jesus is showing that, yes, I'm leaving. I'm going. But here's what's going to happen when I go. And that's how you can have peace and you can have joy. And Jesus wants them to complete that peace and that joy. And that's why he gives them these admonitions and these warnings of everything they need to know to be prepared. And so he teaches them how to serve, and he gives them the information that they need to overcome this world, to overcome the suffering that they were about to partake in. Because remember, he told the disciples, you will experience what I experienced. And obviously, not to the degree. I will say that I believe by tradition, Peter was crucified, from my understanding. But even then, Peter was not put to death for the sins of the world. Jesus is the only man who experienced that kind of death. But the disciples did, in fact, go through suffering. And Jesus is easing their minds and preparing them for what they are going to go through, all the challenges that they are going to meet. And so he teaches them on his last day. That's the kind of example that we need to be, is teaching people and teaching one another and encouraging one another. Don't waver. Don't give up your faith, even when you are met by hardship and challenges. That's the message that he brings in John chapter 13, 14, 15, and 16, which I would encourage you to read on your own and to see the encouragement he gives his disciples that we can take from that as well. But he also communed and he worshiped with his disciples. Look with me to Matthew 26. Matthew 26. You see, on the last day, Jesus wasn't out fulfilling some kind of bucket list like we perhaps might do. Instead, he was worshiping with his disciples. Matthew chapter 26, we're all familiar with a lot of this passage, but I do want us to see in verse 26 what you have. You have the institution of the Lord's Supper. And so Jesus is, they're having the Passover, and he what he does is, as they're eating, he takes bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Talking about how he's going to commune with us when we commune with him, when we are in fellowship with him, especially when we partake of the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. And then notice verse 30. "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives." So what you have is Jesus, in his very last hours, he is establishing what we do every first day of the week. That's what he is focused on. He wants his disciples to remember him every first day of the week. And what he does after that is he goes out and they sing together. They're worshiping. And notice, he's with his disciples, his personal disciples that he's been training. He's not with his mother and his siblings. In fact, we know from the scriptures his siblings did not even believe in him until after the resurrection, until he appeared to James, his brother. In 1 Corinthians 15, we learn about that. And we don't see the siblings following Jesus until the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 1. And so Jesus is not saying, "Okay, it's my last hours, let me go off and be with my family, my physical family." No, what Jesus does, and we read about this in Matthew chapter 12, is he says, "No, my mother and my brother and my sisters are those who do the will of the Father." And so what he's showing us here is he is with family. He is with his brothers and his sisters. It's his disciples that he is with. And they go out and they partake of the Lord's Supper and they sing a hymn together. They worship together. Imagine that on our last day, coming together to worship our Heavenly Father, to serve one another. That's the kind of example that he leaves for us. In John chapter 17, we find also that our Lord and Savior in his last hours, he prayed. He prayed for his disciples. He wasn't worried about his last meal, what would be his favorite food that he would like to eat, that he would want mama to fix for him. He didn't worry about going off and skydiving and all these fun things that perhaps we never got around to doing. Instead, he humbles himself and he prays. And you can read through John chapter 17, and what you find is he's praying for his disciples. And he's praying for the whole world who will believe through his disciples. And he's praying for everyone to have eternal life. And he's praying for everyone to be sanctified by the truth. And he's praying that everyone can have the joy that he has. And you think about, well, Jesus, it's your last day, and yet he's joyful. And he's at peace. And he's looking forward to these things. And so he's praying for the disciples, and he prays that they not be lost, and he prays that they not give in to temptation. He prays all of these things because of the fact that that's what his mind was set on. That's the kind of mindset we ought to have each and every day, praying the prayer that Jesus prayed. You can go on then in Mark chapter 14, and what you find is Jesus is being, he's determined to do the will of the Father up until the very end. And in fact, we know about that from Philippians chapter 2, that he was obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. And you recall Revelation 2:10, where Jesus says to the readers, to the disciples, those who are reading from the book of Revelation, he says to them, "Be faithful unto death." That is, up to the point of death. Well, that's what Jesus was. He was determined to face death for all men. And so what in Mark chapter 14, he prays for strength to endure. He prays for strength to be able to press forward in doing his Father's will. And so You find, as you can read in verses 32 and following, if you're taking notes and want to and read these passages as you study this lesson on your own, but what you find is that Jesus, what he's doing is he goes to the Father. It's his last hours. He's about to be arrested. In fact, he tells his disciples, he comes up to his disciples and he finds them sleeping, and he goes, wakes them up, comes back. It goes back to praying, comes back, and they're sleeping again. And, you know, he speaks about how the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he says, don't give yourselves over to that. Wake up, be at watch, be prayerful. And then what he does in verse 42 of Mark chapter 14, he says, rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. Verse 43, and immediately while he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with all the guards and so on, and religious authorities came to arrest him. But he has that determination to do the Father's will, and it's because he prayed. He prayed for that. He prayed that he would be determined to do the Father's will and have the strength to do the Father's will. And he was obedient. We talked about that last Sunday night, about he was obedient. He learned obedience through the things that he suffered. But you see Jesus being determined to move forward in his last hours, which he knew there was going to be a challenge. He knew the pain and suffering that was going to come. He had not experienced that yet because of the fact that he has always been God and never man in the flesh, or God in the flesh. But now he is in the flesh, and so he was going to taste death for the first time, as we read in Hebrews chapter 2. And yet what he does is he says, rise, let us be going. You have the other disciples, as you continue to read, they run away to their homes. They're fearful. But Jesus, on his last day, the last hours, right before he is to die, the only thing on his mind is doing the Father's will and you and me. That's what's on his mind. Why? Because he was one who was a servant. He came to serve, not to be served, to die as a ransom for many, he said in Matthew chapter 26. So when you read through John 13 and you think about what would you do if it was your last day to live, Jesus shows us exactly what that is. To be a servant, to encourage, to teach, to inform people, to warn people, to pray, and to be determined to do the Father's will. And I hope that's something that we will do each and every day, even if tomorrow is not our last day. If you're here this evening and you would like to be a Christian, a disciple of Jesus, notice the kind of Savior that you are submitting to. It is the Savior who has come to serve you. And he submits to the Father, and in his submission to the Father, it's about serving us. That's the kind of Savior that we serve and that we submit to. And if you want to have forgiveness of sins that comes from his death, burial, and resurrection, then please, please be obedient to the gospel this evening. Don't wait, because we don't know when our last day will be. Be obedient. Surrender yourself. Humble yourself. Say that you want to serve Jesus and be loyal to him. He wants you to come out of the sin that you are in, the sin that is going to cause you to be lost for all of eternity. Believe in him, trust in his name and his authority, and repent of your sins. Confess him as Lord, Savior, Son of God. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Be baptized in his name for the forgiveness of your sins. Have your sins washed away. Be in fellowship with him. Be one of the ones that Jesus prayed about on that last day in John chapter 17, that he prayed for all the world that would believe through his apostles who went out and spread the gospel. You can be one of those. Jesus prayed for you. And so come to him this evening. If we can assist you, won't you come as together we stand and sing.